some entrepreneurship in the news desert. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, just ahead of jury selection, Tesla has settled a civil case involving how the EV company marketed its driver assistance system. The settlement comes even though Tesla had prevailed in two earlier lawsuits over autopilot. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with more.
4 years ago, a Tesla plunged into a concrete barrier along Highway 101 in California's Silicon Valley. It was going 70 miles per hour. The driver behind the wheel, Walter Wong, died. Evidence suggests he had engaged the car's driver assistance feature, known as autopilot, and was playing a video game. As in other incidents involving autopilot, Tesla blamed Wong, pointing out that it tells drivers to remain attentive when the system is engaged. In two previous lawsuits, juries sided with Tesla, finding no manufacturing flaw. But in suing the company, Wong's family said he was lulled into complacency by the way autopilot had been marketed. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has examined hundreds of accidents in which there were claims that autopilot was in use. Tesla said in court filings that it settled the case to end years of litigation. The financial amount was not disclosed. Other plaintiffs could see this as the first crack in Tesla's defense. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
You may remember back in 2016 the trove of files that came to light revealing who was hiding what money using a law firm in Panama. The leak of 11 million documents, became known as the Panama Papers, highlighted how the rich and powerful conceal their wealth and in some cases dodge taxes. Now the trial has begun in Panama City. Here's the BBC's Ione Wells.
The leak implicated more than 100 politicians, including heads of state and government, billionaires and sports stars. The leak showed how clients of the now defunct Panamanian law firm called Mossack Fonseca were able to launder money, dodge sanctions and avoid tax. If the founders of the firm are found guilty, they could face up to 12 years in prison. The law firm has since closed down, but its founders have claimed neither they, the firm, or its employees were involved in unlawful acts.
The BBC's Ione Wells. This winter, ahead of the big round of primary elections, I visited several of more than 200 U.S. counties where local news is hard to find. It's part of our ongoing Democracy in the Desert series as voters struggle to get the information they need at a time that traditional newspapers are in decline and, as one scholar told us, all politics has become national. We've also been highlighting solutions, but do they add up? Today, let's turn to Tim Franklin, Senior Associate Dean and Professor at Northwestern University's Medill School of Journalism that has a local news initiative. Professor, welcome.
David, good to be with you.
So it's not just all the desertification process here. I mean, good old American entrepreneurship seems to be coming to bear in some spots. Are you encouraged at some level?
You know, what we're living through is a historic tectonic change in how news is produced, consumed, and paid for. But that said, there are some new innovations that are happening in local news that I think are showing some promise for the future.
Our friends in the UK have a system where you have to pay a license for your TV, and that helps underwrite some coverage. What are we doing here that stands out for you? Give me some examples.
There are examples, I think, of legacy news organizations that are successfully pivoting from print to digital and also from an advertising-based business model to a reader revenue business model. And then you look at some of the new models. So there's been a bit of a trend of converting for-profit news organizations to nonprofit status. Two of the most prominent examples are the Philadelphia Inquirer and the Salt Lake Tribune. You know, and we're also seeing for-profit and nonprofit digital startups that are filling voids in the market.
Now, I noticed part of your report focuses on some bipartisan legislation, House of Representatives, that seeks to help struggling local news outlets. Does that have any chance of becoming law, do you think?
Even though it has bipartisan support, the Community News and Small Business Support Act, which would give tax credits for organizations that hire local reporters or for small businesses that advertise in local news outlets. As I say, there is bipartisan support, but there's just so little getting out of Congress these days that it's hard to see it happening at this point, unfortunately. I will say, though, there is a lot of activity happening at the state level. So there are now more than a dozen states that have either passed legislation or are considering legislation to help local news.
Some of these bright spots, at least for now, depend on philanthropic money. I mean, it sounds like some charitable organizations are what, seeing the light?
I think foundations across the country are realizing the importance of local news to our democracy. You know, as the CEO of the Knight Foundation said a couple weeks ago, philanthropy is not a business model. And also keep in mind that about 90% or so of all the local news outlets in the U.S. are for-profit commercial news outlets. I don't think that nonprofit journalism alone is going to be the new business model. But I will say that I think this philanthropic effort could be a bridge that could help a lot of news organizations around the country get to the other side, to get from this moment of peril to a moment of sustainability.
Tim Franklin at Northwestern University's Medill School of Journalism. He leads the Medill Local News Initiative, looking for ways to bolster the sustainability of local news. Professor, thank you so much.
David, thanks for having me.
All our reporting from news deserts in South Texas, North Carolina, and Virginia is now at marketplace.org. Look for Democracy in the Desert. And Oakland, California's airport wants to be known as San Francisco Bay Oakland International. It's all of those things next to that bay in Oakland and international. But a lawyer for SFO, San Francisco International Airport, the big one across the bay, is warning there will be a trademark lawsuit if Oakland goes for this. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.